I suppose if you're anything like me, you either read about or listen or watch the news every day. And maybe some of you try to stay away from that because of all the depressing things that you may hear. But if you've been watching the news or paying attention to it at all, you know that our government has been going through a process of nominating a judge to the Supreme Court. In the distant past, this process probably would have scarcely been noticed. But in the last few years, it has become very politically charged, and we see a lot about it in the news. So the judge who is nominated by the president goes through a careful scrutiny by the Senate to determine if they are fit to fulfill this lofty and important position. And of course, this year, as you've been watching, just before the nominee was accepted, some very serious allegations have come forward accusing the Judge Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct when he was a teenager. Now, for the last few weeks, the Senate has been trying to determine if such things really did occur, and if so, should these sins of his youth be considered grounds to nullify his otherwise impeccable record as a good judge? Well, with all the details about the drinking parties and the fornication and the yearbook remarks, it began to cause me to think about our youth and about remembering the Creator in the days of our youth. And I wondered about, well, if we all remembered the Creator in the days of our youth, we wouldn't even be having this great debate that went on at the last minute. You know, in Satan's grip of the world, there seems to be a philosophy that says youth is for pleasure, middle age is for business, and old age is for religion. But if you're a Bible student, you know that's not the case. That's not God's philosophy at all. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Well, from the very beginning of time, God has always wanted his created beings to recognize him as the one and only who has created everything. And he's the one and only that is worthy of great praise and to be obeyed by everything he says. Obeyed above all else is this great one that we talk about. And the verse I just read gives us one good reason why this should be so. And the answer is very simple. So we could find pleasure in life. But if you don't recognize him, it says, "I find no pleasure in them." But if you do, you can find pleasure in them. During the end of Moses' life, he gave Israel what I would call a pep talk, trying to prepare them into entering into the land of Canaan. You know, their mothers and their fathers died in the wilderness because of their attitude and sinful ways. They didn't seem to recognize God like they should. And so Moses gives them this pep talk. Deuteronomy 30th chapter, verse 15 through 20, says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing in the Jordan to live and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that there is a lot of so-called wisdom floating around in this world. But we also know that there is no wisdom like that found in the Bible. That's because God inspired that written word of truth, and it trumps anything else that we find in this world that is called wisdom. Proverbs 8 and 35 and 36 says, "For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." So just because someone seems to be important, maybe has a title before their name, or they shout the loudest, beware. If their brand of wisdom does not parallel that of the Bible, spiritual death awaits you. So, this lesson's not going to be very long. I'm going to use the remainder of our time today to spend talking about five reasons to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Why does he tell us to remember him in the days of our youth? Reason number one. When is it the easiest to remember anything? Now, all the people in this congregation recognize that my memory is extremely poor when it comes to trying to teach our young people up front here when we have our class on Sunday evening. I can't seem to remember these songs that all these kids know. And one reason is because in my youth, I wasn't taught these songs. And so the songs that I know, or the few that I know, or some that I've learned in my older age. But my skill of memorization is about a zero. But when you think about the little children, you think how they soak in all this stuff, and they can remember the books of the Bible, and they have memory verses, and they have all kinds of things that they can remember. They do it in their youth. And so it's a very much known fact. And you know, there's a lots of things to remember about our Creator, isn't there? They need to know how he made us. They need to know how he provided for us, how he cares for us and watches over us with great love and compassion, how powerful he is and how he can save us from our sins. So it is in our youth that many times we see lots of young people just not worry about the Lord. They have lots of other interests instead that gets in their way. Eventually, as one matures, they come to know that those physical things which they were so involved in their youth, that highly preoccupied their time, really pretty meaningless. I remember Dwayne's former wife, Kay, when she was alive, she said those things became to her about, she said they were about a zero. Isn't that the way she said it, Dwayne? They were about a zero. Reason number two, why we should recognize the Lord in our youth. Our youth is our most energetic years. When the Lord asked his followers to provide a sacrifice, he always wanted the best. We see that all through the Bible. This very well may be the reason that God did not accept Cain's offering. I get the feeling that maybe Cain offered an inferior product. He didn't give of the best that he had to offer. God, who made us, deserves our most active and healthy years, does he not? Think of the impact one can have on the Lord's church using their sharp, clear, sensitive, and receptive minds that are full of enthusiasm and determination. We are very fortunate here at Riverside Road Church of Christ. We have lots of young people, and we have lots of enthusiasm that spurs us on. A church full of older people with no youth tends to become dull and lifeless because they have lost their strength they once had. And I know that many of us here have witnessed that. We've been to churches that haven't any youth. Just a few old people still hanging on to their faith the best they can, but not a lot of strength to be of encouragement. And that's not always the case, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We should be very, very thankful that we have youth in our congregation. Is it any wonder why the Lord is seeking godly offspring? It's definitely a very big plus for a congregation. Reason number three, why we should remember the Lord in our youth. They are our most sensitive years. Now, I'm just taking a wild guess, and you may take the same guess. I don't know. I don't have any figures to go by, but I guess there are probably a lot more youth that are baptized into the Lord than there are older people. Why is this? Youthful years are more sensitive and less prone to be hardened with seared conscience. And to explain that, I'll say it this way. I have an older brother who never has been baptized in the Lord. And I pray a lot that he will someday lose his callous indifference. But that's basically what it's become. He's calloused. He has an indifference to it. Talk to him about it, but it's not important to him. Sin has a way of sinking deep roots into your soul. Kind of makes me think of a tree. You think, as you know, as a tree, there's a tree's made up of live wood and dead wood. The longer it lives, the more dead wood it accumulates, and eventually that dead wood rots and the tree's blown over and destroyed. That's the way sin is. It accumulates. It makes us calloused and indifferent. So it's important that the youth recognize the Lord when they're young. Number four. When are you the most teachable? And if you've done any brain-based research at all, you understand that very young babies are learning trillions of new things that's happening in their brain at a very, very young age. All right, so we learn more in our youth than any other time in our life. We highly commend all of our mothers and our fathers who make a supreme effort to get their children to church. We emphatically encourage you to do that. Every time that we assemble, we want you to be here. And why is that? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reminds us that assembling together is a great way to encourage one another into love and good works. It's a great teaching tool for your young people, for your young children. A great teaching tool because it's our most teachable years. I had an Uncle Henry Hartman. Some of you know Henry. He came to the Lord late in life. But you never saw anybody any more thrilled than he was that he came into the Lord, even though it was at a very late stage in his life. And when you talk to Henry, I think you would know that one of his regrets in life was that he allowed some unnecessary fears to delay that commitment, realizing that all those years robbed him of a great peace that he could have had within from God. Because once we come into the Lord, we have a peace that goes beyond understanding, the scripture says. And he was robbed of that, except for the last, I think, about 10 years that he lived after he was baptized. My fifth and last comment I want to make about remembering the Lord in our youth. We need to, our youth needs to recognize, and I think all of us older ones recognize this, that they are our most dangerous years. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, there's danger always all around, whether you're old or young. But the years of our youth can best be described as a minefield ready to blow up one's life at any moment with long-term consequences. Given the culture of our times with the internet connecting youth with millions of pieces of information, and that information's not all good. There's a lot of evil information out there. Think of the hormones that are taking place in the teenagers, peer pressure, the influence of Hollywood, pornography, and we could just go on and on. Dangers abound everywhere. And as we get older, and we with experience, and we think about what our youth was like, and then we realize what it's like now compared to when we were young, we realize that there's lots of danger. And we must ask ourselves a really important question. How many first temptations become the last temptation? How many first temptations become the last temptation? Many youth seem to be tempted to break the laws of the land or the laws of nature. Driving mishaps and death, especially to the young, are quite prevalent in our society. You just turn on the news any given week and you will see where someone has died on the road, and many times it's the youth. For one thing, they don't have the experience as someone that's older in driving. Okay, and that's not to say that all youth are bad drivers. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that there's temptation there. Across the land, there's thousands of young people with poor coping skills. They're using drugs to mask their emotional pains, and many are committing suicide or causing the death of others and themselves because their mind is not functioning properly under such influence. Excuse me. I suspect many of you could go on and go on with this list of why we should recognize the Lord in our youth. But I'm going to quit there. My whole thought is, I hope I've stirred your thinking. Certainly, these activities that have been going on in our government and this thing about Judge Kavanaugh, all that certainly stirred my mind. There was a man by the name of David Murray, as I was thinking about this topic, I read an article that he wrote, Four Reasons to Remember Your Creator in Your Youth. And I found this article on the internet, and I thought it was quite helpful in stirring my soul in thinking about this subject matter. The one verse that kept coming to my mind as I watched the news was King David said in Psalms 25, 7 through 10, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant." And I thank Christian for his reading this morning. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, be very careful who you chum around with. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. It hasn't been that long ago, within the last year or so, there were a group of five teenage boys in Michigan. And who knows who came up with the idea in that group. They ranged from 17-year-olds to 15. But they thought it would be fun to throw rocks off an overpass at moving vehicles as they came by. See how many cars they could hit. I suppose none of them thought, well, we might kill somebody. But that's exactly what happened. One of the rocks about a 20-pound rock went through the windshield and killed one of the occupants in the car. What became of those five people that were having a good time, not really thinking too seriously about what they were doing, but having a good time? They are all convicted of life in prison for murder. None of the parents thought their sons was capable of doing such a thing. Of course, none of them thought they deserved life in prison. But that's what they ended up with. How many teenagers have innocently or not innocently attended a party where alcohol or drugs were present and things occurred that scarred their life forever? And this whole thing about Judge Kavanaugh, this last minute thing that came up, all had to do with talking about a party that had alcohol that was involved in it. Boys and girls were scarred the rest of their life. All the characters that they brought up in this story were scarred because of this incident. Remembering your Creator in the days of your youth has many, many distinct advantages. And the question to you today, will you take advantage of that principle? Now, in our Red Songbook, there's a song that we entitle, Give of Your Best to the Master, and I chose to give that title to my sermon today. Give of the best to your master. Pay close attention to the words as we sing this song. So we're going to use this song to bring our lesson to a close and our service today to a close. And if there's someone here that has not put Jesus first in your life, you have an opportunity today. And if you're not sure how to implement the grace of Jesus, we've got plenty of people here that can tell you how to do that. So if you will come forward and let us know your wishes, we'll do that as we stand and sing this number.